Hello, and welcome to Module 4 of the PEACE system. This is the sanity-saving priority management system for creative entrepreneurs. I am Lisa Robin Young, and this is our final training module before we roll into our practice sessions. In this module, we're going to clarify our expectations, and that's step 4, letter C, and then we're going to exit the system with hope, and that's the final step, the E, of the PEACE system. So by the end of the session, we will have gone deep into all of the different steps, and you will, if you didn't have everything before, now you really have everything you need to move forward. And the last step is more symbolic than anything, so it won't take too much time to touch on. But clarifying your expectations is the meatiest part of this process, so we are going to put a good amount of effort into it here. We're going to talk about decision making and how to make empowered decisions, as well as how to triage and postmortem your to-do list and why that's important. You'll also discover why procrastination can actually be a good thing sometimes. I said sometimes. And you'll get some more clarity on when that procrastination is for your benefit and when it's just self-sabotage. We'll take questions at the end if there's time, and there probably will be because we'll probably wrap up early so that you'll have more time to practice before our practice sessions begin. Step 4 in the PEACE system is to clarify your expectations. This is the step where we make the final decisions about your day, what's really going to happen, what's really going to get on today's to-do list versus the grand, gigundous to-do list that isn't going to get all done. Remember, we're spending several hours going through this process in deep detail, but in practice, these steps flow into each other and can overlap a little. And they only take about 15 to 20 minutes when you've gotten some practice at it. The first few times, it might take a little longer. But this is the step that most people obsess over, making those decisions. You get stuck, and then you start to obsess in the order of operations. Well, Tim Ferriss said, doing less is not being lazy. Giving in to a culture, don't give in to a culture that values personal sacrifice over personal productivity. So here's the thing. If you've done the other steps, this step becomes much easier. If you've decided what's really important to you, that becomes the filter through which you can pass all these tasks. Okay? This is the step where we decide what's really going to go on the calendar and what's going to get left behind. This is the triage and the postmortem of your to-do list. And when I say triage, it's just like at the hospital emergency room. Lots of people come into the ER, but they aren't always seen in the order that they arrive. Instead, the severity of their symptoms, the urgency of their injuries, they're ranked in a hierarchy of sorts so that the most urgent and most important issues are dealt with first. The most life-threatening, critical conditions are dealt with first. That way, the guy with a heart attack is going to get seen before the guy with a broken finger. When two people with heart attacks come in at the same time, hopefully they have more than one bed available, okay? So the triage step helps to ensure that the most critical things get handled first. And that's great for everything that's urgent and important. But if you recall from our last session where we looked at those quadrants, that's not where your attention needs to be all the time. You are not an emergency room. And you probably don't want to run your life that way. So while, yes, you do need to put your attention on those urgent and important issues, you want to set yourself up so that you're not spending the bulk of your day every day on emergencies. You are not an emergency room. I'm going to say it again. You are not an emergency room, okay? But triage helps you to discern which priorities are the top priorities for the day, which priorities are mission critical, like who is going to die if this doesn't get done? And I mean, quite literally sometimes, who's going to die if this doesn't get done? And then postmortem gives us a chance to look at what isn't going to happen and explore why and what to do about it. So let's start with triage. In triage, you're going to take all the to-dos, all the things that you documented in our last step and start sorting in the last step, and then start to pare them down, okay? So you've made this list, you've got it all out of your head, you've got all your priorities, like these are the key areas of success, things that are important to me, and this is everything else. You got it all out of your head, and you've started maybe sorting them into what's urgent and important, what's not urgent, what's not important, okay? If you're one of the lucky ones that only has a couple of things on your to-do list, then you might not need to pare much down. Lucky you. But if you're like many creatives that I know, your to-do list is still probably full to overflowing. It's like, yeah, I got these priorities, but I got all this stuff. And even just my priorities, it's like all this stuff, right? So there's no way you're going to be able to get to everything. How do you decide what stays and what gets postponed? I'm going to share two methods in a bit, but you already have two tools that will give you some insight into this decision-making process. The Eisenhower Matrix that we talked about in our last session, and your IPA. IPA are very clearly must-do activities. You got to do them. They're IPA. If you've identified a litany of things that are IPA, you know, like all this stuff is like mission critical, then you already have clarity that you can dismiss every other to-do on your list today and start whittling down your IPA. If you've got like 10 things in IPA and you don't have like lots of white space on your calendar, that's going to be stressful. All right. So, but IPA, that's what's got to be done today. Got to be. It's an important personal task. It's an income producing activity, right? It's got to be done, and it's got to be done by you. So then the question is, must it be completed today? That's how you whittle down the IPA list. Well, that's really important and I really need to do it, but that one can probably wait until tomorrow. Or that one I can wait on until next week or until I get some information from, you know, Stanley or whatever. Okay, we can move that one off the list for today. Now, if you're wondering why I didn't say anything about those five key area priorities, it's because those priorities should already be IPA. Let me say that again. Your five key area of success priorities, any priorities you set in there, should be IPA. Your five key areas are the most important priorities. So if they're not IPA, then something's not right. And if you don't put attention into your five key areas on an almost daily basis, those areas are impacted. If you neglect them for too long, those parts of you die. Haven't worked out in months? Your fitness is dying, decaying, falling apart. Not tracking your income and expenses? You're going the right way for a bankruptcy and your life of good fortune is dying, etc. That's why we examine those priorities first, okay? Those are the non-negotiables. They are IPA. So as you review your list of IPA, you may still find that there's too much for you to do and you're going to have to whittle it down and you've got to look at, okay, so what has to be done today? After you've handled that one and you've still got too much stuff, how do you decide? Okay, I got a couple of ways. And before I go there, I want to talk to you about empowered decision-making because this is going to feed empowered decision-making. As the CEO of your business, it is your job to make hard decisions. No one else is going to make them for you. Sometimes it means saying no when you really, 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 really want to say yes because the timing isn't right or the money isn't in the budget or you don't have enough people to support it or whatever. Okay. I've wanted to do a live event for years and I had to keep saying no because the time wasn't right. I didn't have a big enough list. I didn't have enough support for it. It's not possible. Like it's not going to cash flow and it's going to cost me money. And it's going to be miserable. And I don't want to have the miserable. So I'm going to wait. Okay. Sometimes it means saying yes, even when you have no idea how you're going to pull it off. For me, moving to Nashville was one of those, yes, I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to make this work, but I feel very clearly that this is the thing that I'm supposed to do. And since I've been here and I continue to show up, doors have been opening for me. I can't explain it. I don't necessarily know why. I was just very clear that this was something I had to do, and here I am. Okay? It means being willing to accept the consequences of the decisions you're making. I was very clear that, you know, if I have to sleep in my car, I will. Not an ideal situation, but I'm willing to assume that consequence in order to be here. I am blessed that I haven't had to experience that, but I'm willing to go down that road if I have to, okay? So if saying yes to something comes with a passel of consequences that you don't want to deal with, then you've got to say no to that decision. And I say you've got to because that's how your brain is wired. Remember when I told you in our previous lessons that your brain is wired to keep you safe above everything else? Self-preservation wires our brains to sometimes behave in irrational ways because we want to stay safe. Like, I don't want to experience those negative consequences, so I'm going to say no, even if experiencing those negative consequences right now would be the best thing for me. My teenager is going through that right now. Doesn't want to do the hard work. and buckle down and do the things that he needs to do now, because it's hard, even though doing the hard is where he needs to be for the long run. And he'll get there eventually, but, you know, he's got to learn the hard way. This is one reason why we procrastinate. This is one reason why we say no to something that's good for us. This is one reason why we say yes to sexy marketing when it's not going to empower us in the moment. And everyone has their own pattern with this. My pattern is to say yes to everything and then feel bad about it later. It's one part fear of missing out and one part wanting to be liked and pleasing people. So sexy marketing is my Achilles heel sometimes. You know, I don't want to miss out on the really cool, sexy thing. And if I join the really cool, sexy thing, then maybe that person will like me and I'll make friends and it'll be awesome and, you know, whatever. I have to be very vigilant around that because it would be very easy for me to always have no money. Okay. And this step in this system helps me a lot. When I have an opportunity that comes up in the middle of the day, like an email about a program or a conference that sounds really good, then I use this step and I ask myself, will this move me closer to all my dreams and goals? And the word all is important. So that's the first methodology. That's the first approach. Asking the question, will this move me toward all my dreams and goals? And then I really have to look at that. Maybe it'll move me closer to a business growth goal or, you know, a social community goal, but I've already spent my budget for the year for training and education. So it would actually throw me off course in my financial goals. So it's yes in one direction and no in the other. Well, then I got to say no. I have to say no for now. For now being the key phrase, for now. It doesn't mean it won't be no, it won't be yes later, but right now it's going to hamper me. And I want to live a life of freedom that doesn't cause me to go into debt and have a miserable life and all of the things that I associate with a lack of success. I want to feel successful and I want to feel successful in all my areas. So that's not a sacrifice, a consequence I'm willing to accept. Okay. So that's why I say, will it move me forward in all my dreams and goals? Or at least be neutral and not have an impact in some of those areas. So there's that. Likewise, I may have an opportunity to go somewhere and it's an inconvenience to go, but it doesn't cost me anything other than my time, which I have, and it helps me connect more deeply with people that matter to me, like going to a social function or going to church or it's kind of embarrassing to say that sometimes church is an inconvenience, but sometimes it is, okay? And so it's like, oh, I don't really want to do that, but I know it's the good, I don't want to go work out, you know, but it's the right thing to do for me. The pain in the moment, the pain of discipline is always less expensive than the pain of regret. So, you know, even though I don't want to go, I go because it moves me closer to all my goals, getting up, getting out, meeting people, connecting, building networks, getting fit and healthy, like whatever, deepening my spiritual connection. It doesn't matter. I go because it's going to move me closer to all my goals. And as much as I want you to have peace and ease and flow and joy in your life and in your work, sometimes as the CEO of your company, you have to do the hard work and you have to make the tough decisions. And sometimes that's a yes and sometimes that's a no and sometimes it's an I don't know right now, I'm going to have to wait and see. All of those answers are legitimate as long as they are true and you're not using them as a stall tactic for procrastination. So this step and asking that question can help. Will this task or opportunity move me closer to all my dreams and goals? And if the answer is no, you really need to scrutinize why it's on your list. The other method, the other approach is called HIME, HIME. Okay, and this is another concept that I first learned from Mark Joyner. He calls it high impact, minimal effort. So this is your low-hanging fruit in action. This is like what it looks like. You're looking at this list of all your things, and you're trying to find which of these tasks requires the least amount of effort on your part, but will drive the greatest impact or return on your investment of time, energy, or money. Okay, high impact, minimal effort. So for example, for me, sending an email is high me. Okay? It doesn't take long for me to write it or to send it. And typically, it has the maximum impact because I can reach everybody on my list with a single message at one time. But creating a sales page for a new offer is going to require more effort on my part because I have to create the page, I have to conceptualize the offer, I've got to, you know, test a tweak and blah, 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 blah. That's a lot more work. On the other hand, if I have a copywriter, then writing the sales page becomes high me because I'm not actually the one writing it. I can delegate that, and then all I have to do is review it. So instead of writing a sales page, I am reviewing the sales page that my copywriter wrote. High me, because it doesn't take me long to review a sales page until, well, fix this, and that looks good, and oh, that's really awesome, and okay, let's go. Okay, high me, high impact, minimal effort. What's the thing that's going to give you the most impact for the least amount of effort? So as you look at what's on your list, ask yourself, and then add those things to your to-do list, or scratch off the things that don't fit the bill for today's list. Okay, you can use either of these methods, and you use them interchangeably as you're deciding what gets added to today's master plan. And I hear that no way out answer. I hear it. I hear it going on in your head, but I just have to do this. Sometimes there's something on your list that you just have to do, even if it doesn't do anything for you, even if it takes you a step backwards in time. Okay, well, what do you do in that case? Well, I'll still say that you always have a choice and that you have to be willing to accept the consequences of that choice, but I also know that most likely you're going to do it anyway. So do it this time and use your postmortem to figure out how to keep it from happening in the future. I have a love-hate relationship with gluten. Yeah, like me some bread, but and cake and other things. But sometimes when I'm out and about, I stop and grab a burger because it's the only option available to me where I'm at. I've like had salad 7 days in a row and I'm like starting to grow leaves out of my ears and I'm so done with salad, right? So it's my only choice. My only choice is to stop at McDonald's or I'll starve. Oh, what a world, what a world. Now, that's not my only choice. I could choose to not eat. And there are consequences for not eating. Or I could choose to not have the bun. It might still come in contact with some gluten, but not nearly as much as actually eating the whole bun, okay? Or I could plan ahead and keep food with me that I can eat that doesn't contain gluten. Now, I hope you hear this as an absurd example, but it's a very real example of the choices that you face in the day-to-day because you were intentional in the morning and then something happened to throw a monkey wrench into your day. So you start the day off like, I got my plan, it's going to be great. And, you know, you end up like me. I got home last night, my headlights weren't working properly. I call and they're like, bring it in the morning. And I'm like, I got to teach a class. I got to be home to teach the class. And so I woke up at the crackety crack of dawn and I went over to the dealership, which is like 30 minutes away. And I sat and I waited for 3 hours for them to fix my car. Found out that there was nothing I had done. It was a problem from when they put the car together in the first place that could have caused a car fire. Oh, hey, glad you got it fixed and I didn't die in a blazing inferno, but it took 3 hours out of my day. Well, I didn't eat. I didn't even think about it. I thought, oh, this is going to be a quick fix. It's just a couple of headlights. Oh, no, it's a big, huge electrical problem. So I get there and I didn't eat. Well, do I sit there and eat the donuts that are sitting over there or do I not eat? My day is changed. Am I going to get back in time to teach the class? My day, I had an intentional plan and now my day has been wrenched up. And that's the power of the postmortem because you always have a choice. So as long as you're, you know, so long as you're willing to accept the consequences of your choice. So I look at my to-do list, you know, this plan that I made that said, go there and do this. And oh, I didn't include packing a healthy snack in my car when I'm on the road or researching healthy options on my route so that I could grab something on the way back. Oh no, I didn't do any of that. I can plan ahead for next time. So yes, today I have a no way out issue. I'm here, I'm teaching a class, I haven't eaten. I'll survive. But if I'm being proactive, I look at that and then I can change it for next time. That's why the postmortem is so important. So all those things that don't make it to today's must-do list have a problem. They aren't going to get done today. That's a problem, okay? Maybe they were never really going to get done in the first place. And here's where we decide what's next. because some of these tasks and opportunities are going to get pushed to the future because they still need to be done. They're still important. They're just not going to be mission critical today. So maybe they get put out for tomorrow or next week or 2 days from now or, you know, whatever. Some of them, however, you need to delegate or dump entirely. Now, if you've categorized your should-dos, want-to-dos, must-dos, etc., now's the time to get clear on what will really get done at some point and what needs to be dumped. You know, all those urgent, unimportant distractions, delegate them, either to another person or to another time. Who can you ask for support? Who can you ask to take this off your plate for you? Who can give you a few minutes of your time to make this problem go away? Fusion creatives really struggle with delegating because they often are good at so many things that it takes more time to train someone else to do it for them than it does to just do it themselves. But if they took the time to do that training on the front end, when they find the right team members, that investment of time on the front end pays off on the back end in more free time so that you can stay in your zone of genius. Now, I've got a client, fusion creative, brilliant woman, and she's trying to handle all of her social media, and she's trying to do this, and she's talking on podcasts, she's over here, and she's over there, and she's everywhere, and she's amazing, and she's trying to handle it all herself. And I said, well, how about you just like pull that social media piece away and let somebody else manage that for you? So she did, and now she's like, oh, I just got to tell you, not having to do that every day, that is so awesome. Oh, it's so great. I can like really focus. And now she's blowing up. She's doing more interviews. She's in her zone of genius. She's shooting videos, creating content. She's not managing the minutia of her business. She's becoming the CEO, and she's staying in her genius zone. I'm a fusion, and it took me a long time to figure this out because two things were happening. Because I was doing it all myself, I didn't build a network of supportive, knowledgeable people that I could tap into. They also didn't know me. And so I was super isolated, working on my own most of the time. The other thing that happened was I was doing all the things. Oh, Calgon, take me away. And I can only move at the speed of me, which is fine until I get sick or I have to step away from my business for a day or two or something. When everything relies on me, if something happens to me, something happens to the business or something happens to my life. So it's important to not be the bottleneck. And it takes time and practice to delegate those things. So I had to start building my network and asking for help. And that stalled things at first because I'm so used to going at my speed. Oh, go. Like I'm going to create a website in 3 days and it's going to be amazing. And boom, there it is. I'm going to record 300 songs and boom. There it goes. And then it's like, but you know, this would be so much richer and so much more awesome if I got other people involved and then I can celebrate their awesomeness. So I brought on Dez to play piano for me in some of my videos. Well, that's great until Dez goes to boot camp. And now I have to wait for Dez to come back or I have to change my mind and do something different. And I like what he brings. So I'm willing to wait. I like that new addition to the energy, so I'm willing to wait. And as a CEO of my business, I've made the decision I'm going to wait on some things for these right people because they're so much more awesome at it than I could ever be. I just have to practice some patience. That's me making the hard decision in my business. So yeah, things stalled out at first, and it was a tough decision. But I'm the CEO. I got to make those decisions because nobody else is going to make them for me. Life will just happen to me if I don't make an impact in my own life, if you don't make an impact in your own life. So I was looking in my postmortems, and that's when it kind of became clear. There was so much that I was doing, but so much that wasn't getting done because I couldn't get to it because I'm just me. So I was procrastinating on stuff. I was good at it, but it wasn't in my zone of genius, and I surely didn't enjoy it. Like, bookkeeping, at least I don't like bookkeeping. Okay. And I would see this on my to-do list day after day after day after day, not getting done. It was important, sure, but not urgent until it was tax time. And then that meant a long couple of days of putting everything in. Sometimes I would block off a week at the end of February, like this is tax week. Don't mess with me. I'm going to do all the taxes this week. I'm like, pull all the receipts and do all, like a whole week of my life, of my work week dedicated to dealing with the finances. Like what? Instead of just doing it a little at a time every day, I just be like, nope, Not today. It's not that important. It'll wait. Now, after looking at this for several weeks on my to-do list, it finally clicked. I'm like, ah, why? I had to ask myself, why? Why is this still on my to-do list and not getting done? So this is where I want to say that procrastination can be your ally if you're paying attention to it. Okay? I got clear that it was important. I just couldn't bring myself to do it. I kept procrastinating on it. And when I got clear about why I was procrastinating, because I don't enjoy it, even though it's necessary and important, I hired somebody to organize my books and get my financials together. It was her responsibility to input all my receipts and all my income and get everything ready for tax time. And she was amazing at it. I just reviewed her work at the beginning of every month, and it took less than an hour compared to the hours I was spending every week or the whole week at tax time that I had to give up to do this. You know, that's just intense, okay? So look at the to-dos you're postponing and ask yourself, why are they still sitting on the list? Why am I not doing this thing? A lot of times we won't even ask the question. We're just like, oh, it's another thing. It's not going to get done. And we beat ourselves up instead of getting curious about why is that there and dropping the judgment, just being ruthlessly honest. Why is that there like that? What's going on? Is it because you don't have enough data to act? If so, then you need to get clarity, all right? Get the data that you need so that you can move forward. If it's because you don't really want to do it, even though it really needs to be done, then you need to decide, does it need to be done or not? And if so, who are you going to delegate this to? And if it doesn't need to be done, if it's somebody else's should that's sitting on your list because you feel guilty about it, give yourself permission to accept the fact that you feel guilty. I feel guilty about, I really probably should do this, but I know I'm not going to, so it needs to go. Bless it and release it. And be willing to accept the consequences instead of going, oh, I knew it. You told me a long time ago. I should have done it, but I didn't know. Because now you're not giving yourself a place of space and joy. Just go, yeah, I see that's an option. I'm choosing not to do that. Bye-bye. Now, a word about delegation, because I know you guys are at different places in your businesses. Some of you, it's like, oh, no problem. I'll hire so-and-so and it'll be done. Other people are like, dude, I can't even afford, you know, clean underwear this month. I can't afford to hire somebody. Delegation does not have to be expensive. You do not have to hire a full-time VA or hire an employee or, you know, get a full-time assistant. You can hire someone on a task-by-task basis. There's Fiverr. There's hiremymom.com. There's the kid down the street. There's the kid in your living room. If your business is set up properly, you can hire interns. Sometimes you can get help by offering to feed people. Back rubs were my husband's payment of method choice. That was his thing. He's like, just give me a back rub and that'll be good. You got to be willing to be creative here. And sometimes it's not stuff in your business that you're going to be able to delegate. Sometimes it's stuff in your life, like babysitting or carpooling or cleaning the house or doing the laundry, because that's where you can get the help. So get the help there and use your time in your business, or vice versa. Okay, get the help in your business so that you've got time to deal with things in your life. Drop your expectations around how things are supposed to look and feel, how they're supposed to be, and be willing to accept the help in whatever form is available, whether it's a free class or a friend who's like, hey, you know, my kid needs a playmate for the next couple hours. Can I take your kids? Or, you know, what? Be willing to accept whatever help's available and have a plan to utilize that time. You know, a lot of times we get help with something and then it's like, well, now I don't know what to do because I'm overwhelmed because there's so many things that I could be doing. Uh-uh. Go back to your list. The list for today. These are the big rocks I'm getting off my list. This is the stuff I'm going to handle. Let me reiterate the importance of the postmortem. The world's greatest CEOs always do a postmortem on all their projects, whether they went well or poorly. They examine what happened so that they can learn from it and do better next time. Even if it was awesome, what can we learn from this? How can we do better next time? In this case, you're just doing a postmortem on your to-do list. And there's still a lot you can learn in there. If something keeps getting pushed, excuse me, that's telling you something. If you always prioritize something, that's telling you something. There's a lot of information just in that list. that can help you build a profitable, sustainable business doing what you love without having to sell your soul to do it. And that's what this is all about. So triage and then postmortem that to-do list. And now you've got a clear start to your day. Now we exit the system. And as I said, this is more symbolic than anything else. It can be as simple as closing your notebook and saying, okay, let's get this party started. I'm ready to go. It can be more real ritualistic for you if that floats your boat. But the idea here is simply to shift your frame of mind and your energy from focus on your inner world, focus on what's going on here, okay, and be ready to re-enter the world at large, that world around you, going out the door, whatever. Maybe if you're just taking a breath and stretching as you stand up, okay, I'm ready, let's go. You know, whatever it is. It can be something different every time, doesn't matter. So long as the intention is to prepare yourself to start taking action on the plans that you've made. Because making all these plans doesn't mean anything if you're not going to actually then go take action on them, implement, get her done. When you're really focused during peacetime, you can get into a flow state where things just roll. I mean, there have been times when I'm writing and I look up and I'm like, oh, wow, it's been like an hour. Woo. Okay. So it makes sense. If you've been in this state, you've got to shift gears. You've got to start your day or end it. And that's the last thing that I want to touch on here. You can use the peace system at any time of the day or night. Do it when you first wake up. Do it before you go to bed. Do it in the middle of the day when you realize everything you planned in the morning is starting to unravel. Or just do it in the middle of the day because that's what works for you. Again, this is a framework. You can pick it up and use it in whatever way works for you. Our practice sessions are at different times during the day because I wanted to cover all the time zones. But it's also a great opportunity to prove that it works at any time of the day or night. The whole point of the peace system is to help you get your priorities in order and keep them that way. That's not a once and done prospect. You don't just be like, all right, I got my priority set for the rest of forever. Let's not screw this up. Let's go. No, you have to maintain the vision. Keep stoking the fire. And the peace system helps. So now I will open up the floor for questions. And while we wait for people to get into the queue, you guys can just pop it in the chat. While we wait for people to get into the queue, I want to go end to end through my entire planning process so that you can get the bigger picture of how everything fits together. Because you've just done one piece. You've done the peace system, the daily planning and prioritizing piece. That's what this program is. So this is part of a much bigger approach that I use that helps me keep moving forward on my goals. Once a year, I do my dream blazing process. And then I review and update it each quarter. That's my plan for the whole year. Then I chart the milestones. Like if I want to hit that goal by the end of the year, then these are the milestones that are going to lead to it. Backward planning, right? So then I chart those milestones from dream blazing into your next 30 days, which is a program that is available inside the Accountability Club. And that gives me clarity on what's the one big thing I need to handle each day for the next month. Then I use the peace system master plan to navigate all my other daily priorities. That's the top-down view, okay? Year, quarter, month, day. And I have all the tools that help me at each level. So getting your day together is great, but when you have that bigger picture view, you have much more control, a greater sense of peace, ease, clarity. You know what's coming up. You know how to plan for it. You know if something goes wrong, you know what's coming next so that you can, you know, work around it. And that's such a great feeling to have that sense of, I can handle this. I got this. And if you've got your own tools, that's fabulous. As I said before, the peace system integrates into any planner tool or calendar that you've got. It doesn't negate anything you're doing. It actually augments anything that you've already got in place. But if you're still looking for a way to get a bigger picture view of your dreams and goals, so that you can see how they all fit into your life and your work. One plan to rule them all is what I like to say. One plan to rule them all. Then I would like to invite you to join us for Dream Blazing. Watch your email for a special invitation that's going to allow you to apply your investment in the Peace System toward your enrollment in Dream Blazing. I believe so strongly in having a comprehensive system to move forward on what matters to you that I'm happy to make this offer for you. I just really believe that when you've got a handle and you can see the whole picture, that's what CEOs do. That's what magazines do. Magazines have a marketing calendar. They're like, they know 4 months down the road, 8 months down the road, a year down the road, what they're going to be writing about in each month's issue. Do they change their mind sometimes? Sure. But by having the plan, they know what they're moving towards. And it was President Eisenhower, the same guy who gave us the Matrix, that said, you know, plans are useless, but planning is priceless. You got to do the planning. The plan may not always work out that way, but the act of doing the plan sets you on a trajectory. And Dream Blazing and Peace System, they're just pieces of the puzzle at different levels. Okay, so I'm not seeing any questions in the queue. Hopefully that means you guys are just like amazeballs and you've got it all on lock. So that's going to wrap it up for us. I will see you in our first practice session shortly. And if you have any questions or anything that does come up between now and the next time we meet, well, not like in 20 minutes, but the next time we meet, shoot me an email, info@lisarobinyoung.com. I'm here to help. I want to make sure you are getting as much use out of this as possible, because I really believe when you've got a plan that works for who you are and how you show up in the world, everything changes for the better. And it makes your life so much easier and full of peace. So there's that. So until next time, this is Lisa Robin Young signing off in blessings and peace. Have a great day.